Special burden tonight that you'd like to share.
My niece and cousin had a stroke. They got a baby. She's probably about a year and a half old. And she's having a real hard time with her son taking care of her father.
All right.
Plus, I got another little boy. I thought he's about older.
I still remember that. Anyone else today?
Brother Chris, I'd like to ask everyone please continue to pray for each one of our sons and our families, and make special mention of Pastor David. And also, I want to thank the Lord that God has been with Kevin and the new baby who was born today, and he's whole and healthy, and just thank God for that mercy. Also, I'd ask everyone to remember the family that's been involved and struck for these murders the past couple of days.
Yeah. Let's do remember those. I know there are people that attend here at times that either went to school with them or knew them personally. So let's certainly be praying about that situation. Anyone else? Any others tonight? I still remember those. Any others?
The loss of my family.
All right. Bless your mother. Bless your mother does.
Remember the loss of my family. Thank the Lord as much as they will be here.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Anyone else tonight? Others. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. If you will, let's stand and we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Ask, if you will, tonight. Brother Charles, you lead us to the Lord as we pray.
We know that you can do it. We ask the Lord to do that tonight. Be with each and every one tonight. Be with us during the service. We ask the message to bless and touch everyone that's here. And we ask all of us to follow in your gracious Son.
Amen.
You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I dedicate this song tonight.
Down his hand and do this for me.
Stand with us, if you will, kids. Y'all want to go next door and have a good time over there. And adults, you're just stuck with me. Amen. Now, I hopefully we'll have a good time in the Lord's house as well. Find your Bible. Look with me and find the book of Judges tonight. The book of Judges. And let's see what the Lord has for us here tonight. Judges chapter number 11. Judges chapter number 11. And we'll continue our look through the book of Judges and see what the Lord has here. I hope that it's been a help to you, an encouragement to you. Tonight is one of those stories that you might not remember at first, and you'll probably catch it as we go further into the story. Judges chapter number 11, let's begin reading at verse number 29. Judges chapter 11 and verse number 29. The Bible said, "Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah of Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he passed over unto the children of Ammon. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord, and said, If thou wilt, or shalt, without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace from the children of Ammon, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands." Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, as we try to preach your word, I pray, O God, that you would help us and encourage us. Lord, give us what we have need of tonight. Lord, I ask you, God, that you'd speak to every person that makes up this assembly. I pray, oh God, that you would do, Lord, what only you can do. Now, Lord, have your will, have your way. We love you and we bless you. Now, Lord Jesus, speak to us in the mighty name of Jesus, we do pray. And it's in that name that we pray tonight, that name that we believe tonight, in that name that we trust tonight, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. You may be seated. Tonight we are preaching around the idea of this next judge by the name of Jephthah. Jephthah has an interesting history about him. I'm not going to go all into his life story. I will share this, that in the very first part of the chapter here, it tells a little bit of his story. And one of the first things that it is told and is said about him is that he is a child of a harlot. And because of that, he was put out by his brothers, or his stepbrothers, as the case may be. They didn't like him being around, and they put him out, and he went over into another a neighboring land there and became somewhat of a leader of a vigilante tribe. And then when things started to go bad, they asked him to come and to fight for them. And he spoke to them about it and said, "You didn't want me before, but now you want me. When I come back, let me know. Tell me, are things going to be all right? Tell me, can I stay after that, all that?" And they said, "Yes, we want you to be our ruler. We want you to lead us and
certainly God had his hand in all that. If you read in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, what we call the Hall of Faith, you'll read the name of Jephthah there. He is mentioned in the Hall of Faith. He is one that God used. And so, no matter where you come from, God can use you. You may have a storied past. You may not have a past and a heritage that you want to talk about, that you want to make much of. But I'm glad, hallelujah, God can use you anyway. Amen. Goes right there. I have time to go through all of the first part of the chapter. I want to deal with the latter part of the chapter mainly. But Jephthah talks to the Ammonites there and tries to persuade them not to fight. He was a man of war. However, he did not want to go into this battle and go into this war. And he knew that there would be bloodshed, so he thought maybe he could talk through some things, walk through some things, and they wouldn't have to fight. However, they were having none of that. And that's where we pick up in our reading here tonight. That's where we pick up and find what it is that God has for us here. The Bible said there in verse number 29 of Judges chapter number 11 that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. And so as he had the Spirit of the Lord on him, God had empowered him and would empower him to bring about a victory for the children of Israel, for the people there. God was going and God was in the process of working. However, in his haste to be sure that victory was wrought, Jephthah done something that we often do. He spoke out of turn. Y'all, how many of y'all know sometimes that old mouth gets in the way? Remember Peter, when they were there with the Lord, Peter, James, and John, and they were there, and God was revealing himself on what we call the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus Christ shone, the glory of the Lord shone through. And he said, it's good for us to be here. Let's just build tabernacles and let's stay here. And he opened his mouth at a time that he didn't really need to open his mouth. Reminds me of a little song that you might remember. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Oh, be careful, little mouth, what you say. And we sing that song at Bible school, and we sing that song with children, and we often make emphasis on the kinds of words that we use. And certainly there's much to be said about the kinds of words that we use. I believe that every child of God ought to be using words that build up, words that bring admiration and bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought not have a potty mouth. Amen goes right there. And but I believe that you can go a little further and say you ought to be real careful about any word that you speak, because we will stand in judgment for all the words that we speak. Let's look there as we look into the life of Jephthah. Let's look at the promise that he spoke. Verse number 30 said, and Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord. Verse 31, it talks about, he said this, he said, whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. And so Jephthah makes a vow here, a promise that he spoke in a time of difficulty, in a time of he wasn't very sure about things, and he spoke thinking that he could make a deal with God. Have y'all ever done that? Have we ever been guilty of the same thing? God, if you'll do this for me, then I'll do that for you. God, if you'll just do this one time, then I'll always do this, or I'll always do that. I believe it was Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, that had something to say about that. He said, it is better that thou should not vow than to vow a vow and not pay. In fact, if you want to turn over in your Bible, I feel like this is worth reading. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, and we'll just start at verse number 1. Ecclesiastes chapter number 5, Jephthah, while you're turning there, Jephthah wants to be certain of his victory. So he tried to make some sort of contract with the Lord. The thing about that is we don't make contracts with the Lord. God makes covenants with us. Let me say that again. We're not in the business of making contracts with the Lord. He makes covenants with us. When Abraham was there, God entered into a covenant with Abraham. Abraham didn't know anything about it, didn't have anything to do with it. He just said, Abraham, I'm going to make you a promise, and I'm going to fulfill my word. I'm glad, hallelujah, it's not up to me to perform. It's not up to you to perform. I'm glad to tell you tonight, if anything gets done, it'll be because he does it all. Bless his name. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse number 1. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. Be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil. But be not rash with thy mouth. And let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. Now notice verse 4 and 5. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. And so here's Jephthah. He thinks that he's got to somehow secure the victory. He thinks that somehow he's got to do something that's going to guarantee the victory. And so he hastily decides that he is going to make a vow to God. The problem, I believe, about this vow, he says here in verse number 31. Verse 31 said, whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me, I said, it'll be the Lord's. I'll offer it up for a burnt offering. The problem with most of the promises we make to the Lord is this. We do not take time to think them through before we make them. Now, some of you that know the end of the story know that he should have thought about what he was getting ready to say. He should have thought about what he vowed to God. Notice verse number 29 tells us this. He didn't need to do anything to bring the victory because the Bible said the Spirit of the Lord was on him. How many of us think we've got to add to what God can do? How many of us think we got to somehow shore up God? You remember the story whenever they're there and they're taking the ark back to the city of God, and while they're doing so, the cart gets to wobbling and the ark shifts on it, and they grab it to try to grab a hold of it, and God kills two men right there for touching the holy things of God. They thought that God needed a hand. They thought that God couldn't do what He said He was going to do. And can I tell you this? Tonight, I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're going through. But God doesn't need our hand in His business. God doesn't need us involved in what He's doing. If the Spirit of God will get on the thing, if the Spirit of God will get in a thing, I promise you this, God will see it done.
Amen.
So there's a promise that He spoke here in a time of haste. He thought that He could do something and somehow bring the victory. He made a vow. It was unnecessary. I'll give you, if you want to write some things down, I'm not going to read them all. If you want to write some things down about a vow, Deuteronomy 23, verses 21 through 25 speak of instructions about making a vow. Leviticus chapter 27, Numbers chapter 30, and verse number 2 specifically speak about making a vow. When we make a vow, God expects us to fulfill the vow. Now, there's nothing that said He had to make a vow. In fact, it was probably, looking at the circumstance, it was probably foolish that He made the vow. But yet, he enters into this vow. A vow can simply be defined as this: a binding promise that involves a gift or a sacrifice. Vows in the Bible were never made man to man. Vows in the Bible were always made from man to God. They would make a vow to God. Let me ask us this. When is the last time we seriously prayed about what it is that God would require of us? What would God want of us? I don't want to make it. I'm not pointing anybody out. I'm not going into anybody's business. But there's many people over the years, Raymond, that have marched down the middle aisle of this church. They stood before the church, said, "God told me this is the church I'm supposed to be at. God told me this is where I'm supposed to serve. God told me this is exactly where I'm supposed to be." And then in a little while, you can't find them. In a little while, they're nowhere to be found. There's one thing about God sending somebody somewhere else, Brother Robert. If God sends them somewhere else, praise the Lord. Hallelujah for it. But there's a whole lot of people that come and make a vow to God, and then they defer to pay. Amen. It'll get better. Hold on. When we make a vow, we make it to the Lord. Look with me, if you will, there in verse number 32. The Bible says, "So Jephthah passed over, and he went to fight against them, the children of Ammon. And the Lord delivered them into his hands." We see here that this victory was wrought by God. It was a divine victory that was brought about by God. Think about this. Here's this guy with a band of mercenaries. Here's this guy that's living outside of the land of God, outside of the things of God, and God comes on him and said, "I'm going to pick you and I'm going to use you and I'm going to deliver my people." And he did just exactly that. It was a divine victory. The Lord delivered them into his hands. God just put them out on a platter and said, "You go ahead and do the work. You go ahead and do the job that needs to be done." It was not only divine, it was a divisive victory. He smote the Ammonites. He brought a great slaughter on them. They were taken out. The interesting thing is, they tried to give him a conversation, and they tried to make an argument that the land that they were in belonged to them. However, it was God's land all the time. God had told the children of Israel to go and possess it. for a little while, the children of Moab had taken over that land, and then they came and kicked the Moabites out, and now they're fussing, fighting with the Israelites, because they decided, I'm sick and tired of somebody living on my land. Some of us just need to go to the devil and tell him, I've taken back what you took from me. I've taken back what you stole from me. I'm taking back what I gave up a long time ago. I'm going to live in the inheritance that God has given to me. Somebody help me. So, there's a prize that he secures. He gets the victory. Now, the turn in the story is here. Look at verse 34, and the Bible said, Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out with timbrels and dances. She was his only child. It came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes and said, Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low. For thou art one of them that trouble me. For I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back. Now, he, had he been thinking, no doubt he would have thought news will get back. And when I start making my way, either my wife or my daughter is going to walk out that door. But in his haste to secure the victory, in his haste to say something, sometimes we just feel like we got to say something, don't we? I mean, something just has to be said. No, it don't. It would do us well to study to be quiet, as the Bible says. If you look in the mirror, God gave you two ears and only one mouth, and that's for a purpose.
Yep.
Amen. It would do us well to learn to bridle that tongue. But what did James say? Said that tongue was a fire that was set on fire from hell, a fire of iniquity. We can say things so sometimes that hurt so deeply. We can say things sometimes that even though you may apologize for them, they'll never forget them. Somebody help me now. So he comes home and he looks at the very first thing. Remember his vow? He said, God, if you'll give me the victory, then when I get home, the first thing, whatever it is that comes out of my house, I'm going to make a sacrifice to you. Now, I don't have time to go through this. They've been fighting about this for years, and I'm not going to settle it tonight. There's some people that do believe that Jephthah offered a burnt sacrifice of his only daughter to the Lord. I personally do not believe that. I believe that he made a sacrifice to her that she would never be married. She would never have children. Now, Brother Charles, this is his only daughter. He has no more children. This is his only chance. I heard y'all in the foyer. They were showing off grandbabies and great-grandbabies and showing pictures of this one and pictures of that one. You pulled your wallet out and you had them little accordion things. They just fall out and all the pictures. And you got all them pictures. Now you just open your phone up. You flip them through. Let me just show Amy just so cute. Look at her. Would you look at that little dimple right there? Ain't she just precious? Well, he wouldn't ever be able to do that. She would never have a child. Now, I can just imagine how that goes nowadays. Daddy done went off to war, and he made some sort of promise in war, and now little Susie can't get married because Daddy said so. That probably wouldn't fly in today's society. But when he got there, He told her what was happening. His heart was broken. But he said, I've made a vow to the Lord, and I can't go back on it. And she, I don't have the verses here, but you can read the verses following. She said, Daddy, it's okay. Whatever you told the Lord, then I'll fall in obedience to. Said, just give me 2 months to go and bemoan and to bewail my virginity. She knew she'd never be married. She knew she'd never have a child. It was every young girl's of Israel. It was the dream of every young girl that she would birth the Messiah. And those dreams were shattered like that. The Bible tells us that every year some of her friends would come, and for 4 days they would bewail her as well. You say, preacher, what does that have to do with me? What does that have to do with us? Well, tonight, I believe that a lot of us can find ourselves in a situation like Jephthah. We, in the heat of the moment, we want things to turn out just the right way. We want things to happen just the right way. And we speak and we say something that we cannot back up on, that we cannot change. Tonight I began to look at Jephthah, began to look at how he had a problem here. He's made this vow. He couldn't do anything to back up on it. So he decided he would go through in it and with it. Again, I'm not here to debate tonight. I personally do not believe it. I'll tell you why. I will give you this. I'll tell you why I do not believe that he offered his daughter as a burnt sacrifice. There are various teachings in the law that would prevent human sacrifice. If you find human sacrifices going on the altars of devils and false gods, in Leviticus chapter 18, Leviticus chapter 20, Deuteronomy chapter 12, Deuteronomy chapter 18, all of those speak against human sacrifice. And by the way, let me just pause right here. This might get us in trouble on social media, but I don't care. I don't believe that as the church, I don't believe as the child of God, I don't believe we ought to be bowing down to the altar sacrifice of abortion and everything else that goes on in this world, that people will applaud and people get behind. I say, bless his name. God gave us his word. We need to stand on it. Amen.
Right.
He put Jephthah in the hall of faith in Hebrews 11 and verse number 32. There, another reason that I don't believe that they could have, or he would have offered her as a sacrifice, is the only sacrifices at this time would have had to been sacrifices offered at the tabernacle and later the temple. God only accepted sacrifices offered up by Levitical priests. There's no priest, even as wicked as they had become, there's no priest that would have taken part in this. And so those are my reasons why I don't believe that there was an actual sacrifice. But I do believe, Brother Robert, what happened here is that he, just as Samuel was turned over to go serve at the house of God, and he took his little daughter and said, you're going to go to the house of God, and you might not be able to have babies, you might not be able to marry somebody, but you certainly can serve God down at the tabernacle. Hallelujah. I thank God for some people that will still serve God, even if the sacrifice is great, that will still serve God, even if the price is high. I say, bless his name. God is looking for some people that'll make up their mind. They'll give them his word, and they'll do exactly what God told them to do. They taught us in Bible college this a long time ago. They said, what you should do, in trying to find out and determine and discern what the will of God is do the last thing that God told you to do until He tells you to do something else. Now, it gets difficult at times to continue to labor in a place that we don't feel like things are happening. We don't feel like that we're hearing it from God. How many of y'all have ever heard of a preacher out of Asheville by the name of Ralph Sexton? Ralph Sexton Sr. Started the church, Trinity Baptist Church in Asheville. His son, Ralph Sexton Jr., is pastoring that now, and here in the next year or two, his grandson, Winston Parrish, is going to take over as pastor there. But Ralph Sexton Sr., they wrote a book about how that God dwells in thick darkness. Brother Robert, he said for years in his life, he did not feel God. He did not hear from God like he did at other times. But Brother Ronnie, he was faithful to serve God. He was faithful to keep on doing what God told him to do. You say, preacher, are you making much of that? Are you promoting that? Are you pumping that up? Oh, no. I went to God. That God always touches me. I always need to feel a breeze from another world. I need to know that God's with me. But I hope, I pray that if God takes His hand and says, I'm going to test you and I'm going to try you, and I'll be faithful to do what God's told me to do until He does something else. Somebody help me now. I want you to stand with me. Taylor, you're up close. Come over here, Taylor. Let's do this tonight. She comes to play on the piano real quick for us. How many of us in this place tonight, maybe you've been through a dark season in your life? I'll never forget. It was years ago. I was going through a difficult time in my life. And it was just, I was low. Man, I was low. And this is back when cassette tapes, you still listen to preaching on cassette tapes. And I got a cassette tape of preaching. And I put it in. And that preacher got to preach it. Man, how it began to minister to my soul. I laid in the floor of my living room and just wept. Because God had not forgotten me. Because God had not been done with me. Tonight, I wonder, how many of us want to say, God, I want to thank you that you didn't forget me. I want to thank you that you didn't give up on me. Come on, how many of us tonight will come and gather around these altars here tonight? How many of us will say, oh God, I ask you, Lord, that God, you would do in this place and in this hour, Lord, what only you can do. Lord, I want to tell you thank you for the many times, though you should have and though you could have, you did not give up on us. And God, I want to tell you I love you for that, and I bless you for that. How many of us tonight just say, God, would you help me to be found faithful, to do what you called me to do, to be what you want me to be, to be where you want me to be. Oh, God, I want to be used by you. I want to be a help and be an encouragement and be a blessing in the lives of others. Oh, God, touch us tonight. Help us, Lord, in this place and in this hour. Maybe you're here tonight and you're struggling. Maybe you're here tonight and you're going through some difficulties in your life. I wonder how many of us just throw our hand up. Preacher, would you help me pray? I'm trying. I'm doing my best. But I sure need something from God. I need a handful on purpose like Ruth. God. God, would you help us? You see the hands, Lord. You know our hearts. I pray, God, for everyone that's begging, that's believing, that's trusted for a handful on purpose. God, help us tonight. Oh, Lord, speak to us in this hour. We love you. We bless you. The Lord, have your will and have your way. And all that's said, all that's done, Lord, we'll thank you. We'll bless you. Thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Have your will, have your way in our hearts and in our lives. We'll thank you for all that you do. It's in the mighty name of Jesus that we do pray tonight. Oh, God, speak to us. There's some folk that are praying a prayer that they've prayed for years. There's some folk that are praying and believing God for something that they just have not given up on, can't give up on. And I say, keep on believing God. Keep on trusting God. He is faithful. For the word of God said, faithful is he that calleth thee, he will do it. Now, Lord, help us to believe you. Help us to stand on your word. We love you. We bless you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you for coming to church tonight. We do appreciate you being out here. And man, your preacher is getting short-winded on you now. And it ain't even hardly dark out there now. Praise the Lord. Y'all enjoy a good day. Tomorrow it's supposed to be warm. Y'all to take your sweetie and get her some ice cream tomorrow is what y'all do. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for coming. We'll be here on Sunday, 10 a.m. for our Bible study over the fellowship hall, 11 a.m. Worship. Does anybody happen to know what Saturday is? Any guesses? You're shaking your head. You're just like Kim. It's another anniversary, preacher. I answered the call to preach on February the 27th, 1998, and that's on this Saturday. That's a whole lot of years ago now, 23 years or something like that. Raymond, I don't know if you remember that night, but I can't forget that night. And what a blessing it was. And I'm a testimony. Faithful is he that calls. He will do it. God is faithful. Let's thank him. Brother Robert, where did he go? There, somebody grab me some plates back yonder. And on your way there, Raymond, are you heading over? Well, somebody do it. I don't care who does. Let's have a word of prayer as we're dismissed. Brother Glenn, if you will, you pray for us.